Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Taste Matters with Mitchell Davis. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis, and today we're taking the show on the road, so to speak. We've been talking the last few weeks with various tastemakers in New York, and today we're excited to have a tastemaker coming from another country that's setting the standard these days for new cuisine, and that's Denmark, unless you've lived under a rock the last few years, and maybe even if you did live under a rock, because rocks factor into sort of the presentations in new Nordic cuisine. You have heard about Noma, obviously a restaurant of an incredible reputation and an incredible experience. René Redzepi is the chef, and he was 2 years ago selected as the top restaurant in the world by the World's 50 Best list San Pellegrino administers, something that I'm engaged with. And that has brought the spotlight on a movement that's been happening for years before then, really, in Denmark and in the Nordic countries, of a newfound enthusiasm for local ingredients, for traditional foods, for an incredible, really an exciting and incredible emergence of a new cuisine. And we're very excited here to have today in the studio with us Adam Oman, who is about to open the first new Danish restaurant in, I don't even know, has there ever been a Danish restaurant here? There were, actually, a few years ago. Well, thank you for joining us, Adam. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the particular type of restaurant that he has undertaken and how that fits in the context of this new Nordic cuisine movement. And then also a little bit about what it's like to be representing an entire country, really, in this emerging trend here in New York. There's a royal visit involved this weekend. If you are interested in Nordic cuisine, you might want to find your way to Union Square this Saturday, where there will be an event, a new Nordic cookout that René Redzepi and Adam will be participating in, and so will the Prince and Princess of Denmark. And then there'll be an interesting event, a pre-opening at your restaurant. So first of all, Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your project here and how it fits into what's going on back home, and why New York and why now?
Well, the timing is based on just a coincidence with great people at the at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your restaurant in Copenhagen. I was fortunate to be able to eat there at the beginning of September, and we had a great meal. What is your vision about that enterprise?
Well, I opened Oman's in 2006 as a smørrebrød restaurant.
Okay, now say that word again, because that's going to factor, it's going to be important in everyone's understanding of what you're about to do. Say the word.
Smørrebrød.
Okay, and how do you spell that?
Smørrebrød.
Okay, so for those of you at home who are listening, that's s'more abroad, or you might see it as s'more abroad, which actually literally means?
Buttered bread.
Buttered bread. Mm-hmm. But has come to stand for the open-faced sandwiches, the Danish open-faced sandwiches that we will call, tell me again?
S'morebrød.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll just call them s'more abroad ourselves, because that's
right.
How they will be called here. And in fact, your name is pronounced Oman, but we'll call you Aman, because it's A-A-M-A-N-N. And I apologize for all of America in advance at the mispronunciation
no problem.
Of your name.
No problem.
So explain what s'morebrød are.
Well, s'morebrød is, to make it short, it's a piece of rye bread with various toppings on meat, greens, fish, and so on, and then combined in a, with crisp toppings and so on. So it's you plan it sort of like a dish served on top of a piece of rye bread, but of course in combination with the bread underneath.
And And as a category of cuisine, let's call the sandwich a cuisine. Here in America, we think of a sandwich as sort of anti-cuisine, although obviously there are amazing sandwiches here. But this is really a whole sort of type of way of eating, a sort of typical lunch or light dinner or something in Denmark.
Yes, it is.
It is. And what is it that you, why as a young, hip, tuned in chef, opening a sandwich restaurant in Denmark and then also here?
Well, I think sandwich is maybe just, it's a bit misunderstood because it's more, you don't eat it with your fingers, you eat it with a knife and fork. And it's you could call it like, it's a bit like tapas, almost. Uh-huh. It's you get small different dishes served on bread, and you get different experience. You get fish, you get the greens and stuff in various combinations.
So as a chef, just in general, what's the challenge of doing this? Obviously, one of the tenets, and we'll talk about New Nordic cuisine in quotes in a moment, is sort of the local ingredients, the freshness of the products, the seasonality. How does that translate into this type of food, if it does at all?
Well, we have the same philosophy. In what I'm doing is very seasonal based, local produce in season, of course.
You're making a lot of things here, I presume. The bread, for instance, where are you going to find that amazing bread that's all over?
Well, we're of course going to bake it ourselves, right. But we are still going to make all these things, of course, from local produce, upstate New York, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have the same approach, of course, seasonal products, menu that follow the seasons, and the rye bread. Yeah, we're going to make it ourselves. We're going to bring the sourdough. Don't tell anyone.
In your suitcase every month. Yeah. Right?
No, we just need a small sample and we can make it grow quite quickly, actually.
Ah, so 10 years from now, the bread will be even more flavorful and wonderful than it was on opening day, for instance.
No, you just feed the sourdough and it will, yeah.
The same thing. So let's take a step back. You've been a chef for 16 years or so in Copenhagen. Obviously, there's been an incredible change. A spotlight has shone there. What do you think has gone on? What have you seen from the inside that has enlightened the rest of the world about new Nordic cuisine and specifically what's happening in Denmark?
Yeah, I think via Noma, we just got an excellent opportunity to show what Nordic food is all about. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and what is it? How would you say that? What would you describe it?
Well, the thought of sustainability, organic, seasonal products is not a new thing in the Scandinavian countries, especially not in Denmark and Sweden. We've been doing that for quite some years.
In fact, there was a great article this morning Mimi Sheridan wrote, I'm sure, in anticipation of what's happening this weekend, about old Nordic cuisine, which she first discovered on a trip in the early 50s to Copenhagen, her trip through Europe, and was amazed at the food then. And in fact, there was a bit of a trend, as we were talking about earlier, before we were on the air, of obviously Danish design and what has become mid-century modern, but at the time was just incredible Scandinavian design, but especially Denmark, and then also the foods, those breads. My mother entertained making smørrebrød as hors d'oeuvres in the 60s and 70s because of a trend. And so the light has come back, I guess, to the Nordic countries and to Denmark in some ways. I remind people that you can call in and ask questions. We are live. And if you just dial 718-497-2128, you can ask Adam all sorts of questions, how to pronounce various Danish words, for instance, but also perhaps what sort of combinations you would want to make on a sandwich or what his thoughts are about other Nordic ideas. So again, I still want to get at this question. You could have opened any kind of restaurant. The world, you know, the time is right now for all sorts of things. And you could have, chosen an offshoot of some of the higher end restaurants. Not that yours will be a low end sandwich shop, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Why smørrebrød? Why this thing that seems in some ways common, but obviously it presents a lot of opportunity?
Well, this is what I do and what I love and what has been a great success for me in Copenhagen. Smørrebrød has been left in the dark for quite some years in Copenhagen also. And I sort of brought it to attention again in 2006. And just to pick it up where it was left, like, you know, just industrialized bread, meats, and no really chef work, handcraft involved in the process of making smørrebrød. All over Copenhagen was like that. Although a lot of a lot of Danish people still eat a lot of smørrebrød, the quality has been poor for quite some years. Yeah,
right. Well, it certainly isn't anymore. And in this week that we were recently in Copenhagen, one of the things that was really remarkable was the degree to which the ideas of Nordic cooking, the local seasonal foraged ingredients, often I thought an interesting balance of flavors with acidic flavors being prominent, mm-hmm. pickled things really nicely counteracting some of the richness in some of the other food, had really trickled down from the restaurants at the top of the spectrum like Noma to the average lunch places. Talk a little bit about the impact that Klaus Meyer had on your career and also has had on this whole moment happening and who he was and who he is, I should say.
Yeah, well, he wrote the manifest with René Redzepi in 2003, I think.
And that manifesto is?
Is what the whole philosophy behind Noma is based on, and the whole new Nordic movement is all about, is the sustainability, the organic thing, the local produce, just the special things that you find all over the Nordic countries.
Right. And to what extent have the other countries, are the other countries participating? We hear some about Sweden, but the other Nordic countries are Norway and Finland. And is there something I'm missing?
Iceland.
Iceland, right. Mm-hmm. So we've actually had chefs from almost all of them, I think, at the James Beard House, where I do my day job, cooking. But how do they relate to each other? I mean, especially now that Denmark is getting so much attention and Denmark is putting so much effort and investing so much into food, how does it relate to what's happening in the other countries, if at all? Or is it just a matter of geography?
I know they have a lot of networking going on. I'm really not a part of it.
Okay.
But
because you're making sandwiches or why?
Well, they come and eat to my place, definitely. But I think that's about it.
Right.
Yeah. But what's the same? I mean, we have great fish in the Nordic countries, so we have the same base. We're familiar with the rye bread. Iceland has some of the best fish in the world. The cold waters makes, I mean, just amazing shrimps. They grow really slow, and the taste just gets better.
Wow! I know you're going to bring those here, or what are you? You're going to that would be almost impossible, I imagine. In some ways,
yeah.
So you'll source things.
We'll bring the Icelandic herring here.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So already preserved and easier
to import.
That will
be preserved in salt. Yeah.
One of the things that is startling, I'm just checking the time, about eating in Copenhagen is the price of food, the price of everything. Not that it isn't wonderful and delicious, but coming from New York, which is known to be an expensive city in and of itself, it's spending $100 for open-faced sandwiches for lunch, which seemed to be the norm, was shocking to some of us, not from there. What price point is your restaurant going to be here, and how are you going to be able to maintain sort of the level of integrity that you have in Copenhagen at whatever you intend to do here?
Well, one thing is Copenhagen. Things are different. Wages are high.
Of course, right.
Same for produce and so on. So, it will be different. The prices will be different in Tribeca, definitely.
Right.
The price for a piece of smørrebrød will be between $6 and $9.
Oh, a bargain. The Danish are going to come flocking on SAS. It's going to be full of people coming for lunch to New York. It'll be worth it.
I hope so. and you'll need like two to three to get a full meal, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Again, you can call, ask us questions at the number is 718-497-2128. Tell me, how are you finding New York? How are you finding opening a restaurant here, dealing with construction and the whole, what I imagine is craziness for a restaurant anywhere, but probably particular to New York?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When did you have the idea, and when will you open, and how long, what's happened in between?
Well, I got the idea with my partner 8 months ago. She contacted Sane, which is my partner, contacted me 8 months ago. and we just, she was searching for this concept of mine, and we just hooked up. And
so that's not long at all. 8 months ago to when will you be open to the public here?
We will be open for reservations 1st of November, and then we'll open late November.
Mm-hmm. And what are your hopes and fears for introducing Small Abroad your way to New York?
Well, my hope, of course, is that New York will embrace Small Abroad and really love what we do and understand the combinations of rye bread, homemade mayonnaise, and combined with these cured meats and home-smoked fish, and yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to take a break. We will be back just in a few minutes. We're talking with Adam Oman. See, I got it wrong already. About his new restaurant and about his relationship to Nordic cuisine and the movement that's taking over the world. Welcome back to Taste Matters with Mitchell Davis. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis. I'm talking with Adam Oman, who is opening the first Danish restaurant in a very long time in New York City. It will be called Oman's Copenhagen. Got to get that word in there. That's a city. It's a name that just makes you feel sophisticated saying it somehow. But it's Copenhagen, not Copenhagen, right? I've been corrected many times. Copenhagen. Everyone wants to impress you by saying Copenhagen, just like they want to impress you by saying smell of blood or whatever. But it's actually, the Danes say Copenhagen. We are talking again with Adam about New Nordic cuisine, about all sorts of things. You can ask him any question you would like by calling us. We're live until 11:30. You can call us at 718-497-2128. Did you do any research in other restaurants here in New York before you came?
I've been to a couple of Scandinavian restaurants in New York, yeah.
Anything you liked? Or it was interesting? What Scandinavian restaurants did you go to? I'm curious.
Van Dijk.
Okay, of course.
Which is mainly Dutch, actually, but in a Scandinavian combination setting, something. Yeah.
Sure. And anywhere non-Scandinavian? Have you seen anything here that you liked food-wise? I mean, do you like New York?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a fun town.
I love it. Yeah. I love it here.
What about it in particular?
About New York?
Yeah.
Well, it's just... it's just a big punch in the face coming here, I think, every time.
Right.
In a good way, a great way, yeah.
How much time will you spend here versus Copenhagen?
How
much time will you spend here at the restaurant here versus you still will be operating your restaurant
at home? Well, I will be here at least 4 times a year, traveling back and forth. So I will, of course, have a kitchen chef running the kitchen.
From Denmark,
yeah. And we're going to open with 3 Danish chefs, and then my team in Copenhagen is going to have a rota they're going to rotate to New York.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the design of the place, so much about Copenhagen and about the ethos of the city is about Danish modern design. Are you using a Danish architect? What's the design like?
We're using a Danish designer who's going to get the whole Danish, all the lighting, the furniture. We have Fritz Hansen, Anne Black, some Danish design companies to have their share in the whole decor.
Do you think there's a relationship between Danish design and Danish food? And if so?
Yeah, definitely.
What?
It's clean. It's you can see what's behind it, what's in it. Actually, mm-hmm. it's like the food. You can see in most Nordic food at the moment. You can see every ingredient. It's quite pure.
Interesting.
And the same thing with the minimalistic design. It's pure, simple, clean, mm-hmm. crisp.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The idea of being able to see. I mean, obviously, the last gastronomic trend to take over the world, if such things happen, was originated, I would say, at El Bulli, and this idea of modernist cooking, where things were exactly not as they seemed. You know, mm-hmm. it looked like you were eating gnocchi at El Bulli, but in fact it was egg yolks that had been transformed into something completely different or through various mechanisms. So perhaps say a little bit more about this idea of the obviousness of the ingredients, because it doesn't mean simple exactly, right?
No, but I remember those recipes you're talking about. Really, I mean, you have to have a whole biochemistry lab for doing this. And the recipes from more of the new Nordic movement is more like there's a lot of raw fish going on, raw mm-hmm. shrimps.
Shrimp, in fact. We served shrimp that were alive that mm-hmm. we had to catch and then eat. It was not easy. The second time was easier. The first time was much harder. I had to wait for them to almost die for me to be able to do it. But one of the thoughts that has come to my mind was that the one of the reasons for the Nordic moment might really be this juxtaposition. Sort of, if you take a step back and look at the arc of trends in food, that after an incredible and influential run at El Bulli, and I use that to stand for all of the things around the world of that type of cooking that was very technological, also. I'm sure Ferran Adria would say minimalist in a sense, in that it was about purity of something, of flavor, mm-hmm. of look or something. But then perhaps the spotlight has moved, as trends do, to the opposite of that, which is this sort of obvious, less adulterated, and I mean that not in a pejorative way, but less manipulated, let me say, mm-hmm. type of food that has sort of shone the spotlight on this small country. How many people are there in Denmark?
Only 5 million.
5 million. I think there are 5 million in my apartment building on 14th Street.
Yeah.
Actually, next door there probably are, and Stive is in town.
And actually, and no one in Denmark has more than 32 kilometers to the ocean. It's a peninsula and then an island, Denmark.
Wow. So it's... Right. Yeah, well, Manhattan's an island, and it's actually, you could walk from side to side, and there are 20 million people on it sometimes during a busy day.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. You're listening to Taste Matters, and I'm Mitchell Davis, your host, and we're talking here with Adam Oman. I hope that you don't mind that everyone's going to mispronounce your name and the name of your restaurant.
I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, okay, because they'll look for it under O, and they won't. You actually should probably put it in the phone book under O, because people won't find it under A, if they're asking for it.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh man, that's what we do. We are here in Brooklyn at Bushwick, broadcasting from Roberto's, which is really the center of a whole food movement in and of itself. And when we were in Copenhagen, we noticed there were slight pockets of different things happening around town a little bit. In fact, the restaurant Relay is in a neighborhood that had some interesting bakeries and a caramel maker and all sorts of stuff. Mm. Do trends within this new Nordic thing that's happening, I mean, there must be trends and interests and various evolutions in food in Copenhagen itself, of which you're probably one because of the medium you've chosen to use, the mm-hmm. smørrebrød. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening right now in the city there?
Yeah, as we talked about earlier, the Nordic way of cooking is dripping down from the upscale restaurant, the Michelin kind of places, mm-hmm. to the more middle range restaurants, where they create great food for Copenhagen,
reasonable prices if you're yeah, a Dane.
Exactly.
So what would some of those restaurants be, in case any of our listeners are
that would be Relais, as you talked about, uh-huh. Marv and Ben, uh-huh. which is Marv.
Marv, I see. Yeah. Hardest part is finding
Marv a Bean, yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, my restaurant right. also, which is a bistro in the evening, based on the same philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Will that happen? Will you serve other food here also?
We'll be serving schmerbel, and we'll be doing samplings in the evening. So uh-huh. you get small pieces of schmerbel, and you can taste the whole menu. We'll get small plates with specialities from Denmark. You know, warm liver pate uh-huh. with the aquavit. We'll have infused homemade aquavits, as I do in Copenhagen.
Well, and infused with what sorts of flavors?
Herbs, mm-hmm. different kinds of herbs, berries, and then some mixtures. Like, for instance, we have a horseradish, apple, lemon.
We had horseradish. It was amazing. I'm just reminding. It was an amazing compliment to some of the sandwiches that we had. Wow. So, and all of that you'll be doing here. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think... Would you like more of these restaurants in America? I know you don't have one yet, but is the idea to take over America with a smorgasbord of restaurants?
We're really going to focus on making an excellent restaurant in Tribeca. And then, well...
Then you'll figure out what happens yeah. next. I wonder if you would talk about... So, sorry. We are sitting in a restaurant here that represents a sort of movement itself towards growing its own food, towards using, creating some sense of place, which I know is really important also in New Nordic cuisine, this idea that the food comes from this place. And translating that is a little complicated, I would think, since you're bringing one place to another. And as a chef, you said you're going to be sourcing ingredients from upstate New York and various mm-hmm. places. So talk a little bit about the process of doing that. I'm just always fascinated by people coming to somewhere else and trying to adapt an approach, but be reflective of where they're from and how you find the things you need, how you land and make a restaurant in another place.
Of course, my idea was to transfer the whole idea, so we got local produce in New York from upstate, or like, for instance, rye flour from Catskill. Mm-hmm. Then we, of course, were in Union Square, been there to the markets, and I was so impressed by, you know, all the root vegetables, the kale, and a lot of the stuff that we have and things is so significant. In Denmark, I found a lot of it here.
Well, that's nice. I feel quite proud.
We're not going to be missing so much, actually.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the Union Square Market in particular. It's funny, when I go to other places, I always go to whatever market's nearby. And in San Francisco, the Ferry Market and all of the farmers markets are amazing because the growing season there doesn't end, really. And I come back and then I go to Union Square and I feel like, oh, wait, but we have all this great stuff, too.
Definitely.
Just not in the middle of winter.
And we thought a lot about the beer also, like bringing beer crossing the Atlantic.
Yes.
Crazy.
Right.
So we're going to, you know, hook up on a local brewery. We have some on the list.
Oh, really?
And then we're going to make a couple of Danish beers with them based on Danish
And what is unique about Danish beer? What's the flavor profile and...
We're going to make a flavor profile that will get along with the schmerbel.
Would that be what people drink traditionally, a beer or an aquavit,
yeah.
rather than wine or...
Both.
Both. Okay. Yeah. The winters are cold.
Yes, exactly.
You need a beer and an aquavit.
So in New York. So they...
Well, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to taste a taste of Copenhagen in my own backyard in Tribeca. I've been talking with Adam Oman. Omen, who's opening Omen's Copenhagen at the in middle of November in Tribeca. You are listening to Taste Matters. I'm Mitchell Davis. Next week, we are going to be talking about translating the visual taste of a restaurant, all the components that are not about food, with Jim Bieber, who's a great architect, an award-winning architect who's designed many famous restaurants and also designed the James Beard Foundation pop-up restaurant, JBF LTD, which was a big hit earlier this year. We're live every Wednesday at 11 a.m., but you can listen to us on heritageradionetwork.com anytime. The shows are archived there, and we'll see you next week to talk about taste at 11 a.m. on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Today we'd like to send a special thank you to the following restaurants for supporting No Goat Left Behind, Corsino, and Bento. Show your support at these restaurants by ordering one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind. As a part of National Food Day, St. John's Bread and Life, Brooklyn's innovative and life-saving food service program based in Bedford-Stuyvesant, is inviting Brooklyn chefs and purveyors to learn about how the organization is marrying the procurement of old-fashioned, locally grown organic produce with the latest technology to deliver healthy, cost-effective meals to those in need. St. John's Bread and Life, located at 795 Lexington Avenue, will hold an open house on Monday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Visit www.foodday.org to sign up for the event.